Welcome back to another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Fellas, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on, boss? How you doing, Alex?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, we got a good episode this week. We're going to run through week 7, talk about some waiver ads. It'd be great. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's the Wire. It's the Wire. D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that's Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train where the hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. 3 tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, boys, so week 7's in the books. Probably one of the better weeks of football, I'd have to say. What do you think?
I've never been more entertained by a week of football in my life.
We had a lot of good games this week. I thought the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game was great. Obviously, Seattle and Arizona was a crazy game.
Might have been the game of the year.
Definitely think so? The game of the year, yeah.
There was so much back and forth and drama and, you know, be down 2 scores with almost the end of the fourth quarter, come back and tie it, miss the field goal, but then come back and win it later on at the end of overtime. There was a lot going on in that game, and I was very impressed.
It started on Thursday, too. We got a really good game out of the Giants and Eagles. Like, that wasn't a bad game at all. It was
No, I thought that was going to be a horrible game, and it really wasn't a bad game to watch.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be, like, I don't know, 6-4, some safeties. I don't know. I thought it was going to be miserable, but no, that was pretty good.
Just got 5 safeties.
There was a couple completed passes in this game.
That's what I was expecting, yeah. But Daniel Jones took it 80 yards and fell, which was – he ran out of his body. I don't know. I think he ran too fast. His legs just couldn't keep up.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He's more athletic than Lamar Jackson. He ran faster than Lamar Jackson. He ran faster than DK Metcalf on that crazy chase down.
He really did. I think he had an out-of-body experience.
Oh, for sure. He's never moved that fast before in his life.
He was speeding in a school zone.
Well, that's great.
As far as the games, we talked about the Seattle game. You know, the Browns Bengals game was very, very fun to watch.
Yeah, it was.
I've never seen a team lose on by scoring a touchdown the way the Falcons always find a way to lose.
I wasn't mad about it. As a girly owner, I was happy.
I
was thrilled as a Stafford manager. I was pissed the whole game. Stafford wasn't doing anything against the Falcons, and they kept running the ball because they're a run-first team now. And then he comes out, throws for 340 and a touchdown. I'll take that.
Very quiet 340, too. But yeah, and then the Saints game, the Panthers gave him a run for their money.
I wanted the Panthers to win that game all day. Oh, yeah. I was really hoping they were going to pull that off.
I'm just so sick of Mike Thomas. I hope the Saints lose every game.
Just because he's a baby.
Yeah.
He's turning into Antonio Brown, I'm telling you.
Devontae Parker's better.
Whoa.
You don't remember that last year?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna let that one die out. The Washington football team destroyed the Cowboys this week.
I knew that was gonna happen. I was sitting on Saturday night and I was picking my survivor, and it was me and down to 3 other teams in the survivor, and I'm like, this Washington game's a trap. This Washington game's a trap, and I didn't buy it. And I was like, all right, Andy Dalton's going to come up. He's going to show out, and I lost my survivor because I picked Dallas.
Yeah, I did the same exact thing. So I had so much faith.
Talking about Dallas, it's still crazy to me that Dak Prescott is leading the NFL in throwing yards and passing yards, and he hasn't played in over 2.5 weeks.
I don't even understand how that's possible.
Because he was on pace for like 75,000 yards this year.
That's about right. Russ has been, checks out.
Yeah, Russ has been on a crazy year. Mahomes is throwing plenty of balls.
But the reason is because, one, Wilson's had a bye week, but he hasn't really had the yards. He's been running more than anything. How many 30, 40, 50 yard gains as he had this year running on the ball. At least five or six.
Yeah, that's probably fair to say.
That's why he's putting up 30, 40 fantasy points a week, is because, I mean, he's rushing for touchdowns. But yeah, I mean, I thought that was a crazy stat. 2.5 weeks he hasn't played, and he's still leading the league in passing yards.
Hey, all that tells me is that boy's going to get paid next year.
Better.
Hey.
He deserves it.
Yeah, I think we can officially say that.
So let's jump into a discussion I feel like we should have. The three of us are in a dynasty league together.
Yep.
We had an odd situation happen this week. Well, an hour before game time yesterday, where we all got a notification through Sleeper that a trade was completed. So obviously we all go and check.
Now, and somebody add a little context there. It was close to game time, right? Like, I'm setting my lineups and I'm just kind of looking through. Yep. And it was what?
Yep. The context that I added 30? Was that it was an hour before game time.
Oh, I missed that.
Ooh, there's a little sass from Tim right there.
Well, you told me to add context and I did, right? But anyway.
I missed that. Sorry.
Come on, Alex. Get with it.
I'm watching Anthony Miller score touchdowns. Sorry.
Oh, so, Jesus.
As far as the trade, it's very close to the 1 o'clock Eastern games.
Yep.
We all get a notification. We all check it. And somebody traded a first round pick and Adam Thielen.
Or Mike Davis.
Mike Davis, straight up. And then we're like, whoa, what just happened? And then the kid that traded the first and Thielen said, my brother completed the trade when he had my phone.
Yeah. I mean, so when I first saw that trade, I actually thought it was Mike Davis and a first for Adam Thielen. And I'm just
which would have been fair.
And my brain was like, my brain wasn't working. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, why is everybody mad about this trade? I'm like, Mike Davis and a first for Thielen. Not great. Wouldn't do it myself, but not that bad. And then it finally dawns on me of like, whoa, this was Thielen and a first for Mike Davis. And I'm like, what?
It felt like a salary dump for me. The team, like, he gave Thielen and his contract with the first round pick for a guy on an expiring contract. He's trying to get, like, I don't know if he's trying to open up Fab next year or.
When did Bill O'Brien join our league?
Yeah, wow. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
So I think it's all fair to say this is probably one of the worst trades we've all seen.
And the reason we're having the discussion is, I feel like it should be vetoed. I feel like, one, the trade is complete bullshit. Two, the trade is terrible. And three, the kid that completed the trade wasn't the one that sent the trade out.
So the story is that his brother sent it to him as payback because he did it to him in a league last year.
And I know his brother, and I kind of believe it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case because you can't be that stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't be. And I guess the background here is that I think all three of us are almost like never veto, right? Like, I'm on that train of never veto. I don't know if you gentlemen are the same way.
Tyler isn't as much. I don't really veto anything unless it's blatantly obvious. There was one year where Tyler had a crusade against me because of a trade I completed where he's making sure we had enough votes to veto the trade.
That's not true at all. Oh, here we go again with Tim with the false narratives. That's not true one bit.
According to
that was so bad that I had the entire league text me and make sure that they were vetoing the entire league.
Well, to circle back on the story, I don't veto trades, and I voted no. I'm not vetoing this trade. You know, it's your phone, your responsibility. If you want your brother to go do something, is that his younger brother? He should have put him in his place years ago. He should have been dominant. I don't know. My little brother, he'd never have the audacity to do that to me. He should have set the tone. It's his team. He loses Thielen in a first, not my problem. I hope Mike Davis works out for you over the next few weeks and he signs somewhere for a bag. But I'm not going to veto the trade because, yeah, it's not a fair trade. but it's up to the owner. It's his responsibility or her responsibility to manage their team. And if you want to hand your phone over to somebody else and ask them to do stuff for you, well, you know, you got to know the people you're giving your phone to. So I vote no.
So my thing with it is that typically, I mean, we've seen some bad trades already. We've seen some odd trades. And it is what it is. But with this one seems like it's got so many implications for the future. And it wasn't something that if we're believing him, that he didn't do. So it's like, it's not just screwing him. It's also screwing everybody else in the league that had no control or any at that point. So it's like, we put up to a vote. We're still waiting for everybody to vote on it. But
yeah, the issue we're having is, and you know, this is growing pains with starting a new dynasty league, is nobody, we have one person in our league where he doesn't respond to anything. And I'm personally, as a co-commissioner of the league, going to put a vote out to take him, maybe potentially take him out as an owner of the league. I'm going to message him. I'm going to find a way to message him, because I don't even have his phone number. He's one of our friends' friends. And he hasn't responded to a trade offer. He hasn't voted in anything in the league as far as management when we were trying to get statistics going, beginning, like, you know, if it should be PPR, half PPR. He never even responded to that stuff.
No, he hasn't interacted at all.
So it's come to the point where he's literally the person in the league that is impossible to get a hold of and never even responds. All he does is set his lineup every week. And I mean, in a dynasty league where typically there's a lot of trades and back and forth and moving of pieces, we haven't heard from him at all.
Yeah, owner activity is super important. And I think something else to note here is the precedent that you set. If you veto this trade, what's stopping me and me making a really bad trade, getting a lot of backlash and going, oh no, my fiance stole my phone and she just traded away Christian McCaffrey for, I don't know, Jerick McKinnon and a first, like, you know what I mean?
No.
Like,
so, I mean, I'm not outraged and I'm not going to sit here and pout and scream and stomp my feet because of the trade. If it goes through, it goes through, and if it stays, it stays. Because I do agree with you, Alex, where, you know, nobody is going to take my phone and manage my fantasy team. Nobody's going to, you're lucky if you have my phone long enough to see what my fantasy roster is. Because I'm scared that, you know, I won't even show Tyler, if you want to look at my team, open your phone up. I'm not going to let you see what my waiver claims are or how much fab I'm spending on somebody. I'm not taking that chance. So as far as that stuff's concerned, yeah, it is Jordan's fault for doing that. But I mean, it just sucks because his team is older and now he got rid of one of his wide receiver ones and a first round pick next year. And he doesn't have his second round pick next year because he traded it for two wideouts and
fucking horse shit.
But
sounds like a lesson learned.
So maybe now he doesn't have his top two picks in the draft upcoming. And
my biggest thing with that is now, hey, he's already in a shit spot with running backs. He was okay at wide receiver, but now he has no draft picks for next year. Now we're in the potential where we lose him next year. And that's the real thing that I'm worried about.
And this is why I wanted to put in that if you trade a future draft pick, you have to pay for that week. I mean, pay for that year. So if you trade your first round pick in the next 2 years, you have to pay within a week for those years, because who's to stop you from saying, guys, I'm all set with the league. I'm, you know, find somebody to take my team over. Now, how hard is it going to be to find somebody to pay $50 or $100 or however much the entry fee is for your league to manage that team when the team sucks and you have no draft capital?
Yeah,
I totally agree.
I really like that rule, by the way, that you implemented. If you trade a pick next year, you have to pay. To kind of stop like stuff like this from happening, where somebody trades away Adam Thielen in the first and they don't join next year, because at least you have the entry fee and you can be like, all right, entry fee's paid for. If you want to leave, go for it. I don't think you build your rules around weird situations like that, though. If the dude leaves, he leaves.
No, but look, that's a rule we had in from day one. That's an existing rule.
Yeah, but I mean, just as far as the trade, if he leaves because of the trade, well, I mean, you know, nothing we can do. It's we voted this is the way it's going to go. And if they leave, they leave. There's a lot of people out there, I'm sure, that would be interested in Dynasty. There's forums, there's Twitter, there's, you know, there's a lot of different avenues to bring in a different owner. So that's kind of my take on it.
Yes, I mean, we'll see what everybody votes for in the poll. If, again, you know, if he decides not to join the league next year, and we have to fill his team, and his starting running backs are Jerick McKinnon and Mike Davis, and no first round pick, no second round pick, it's going to be very hard to find somebody to manage that team.
There's always hungry and pay people $50. Out there. Well, that's why you get him to pay the 50, right?
Yeah, that's the idea behind it. Because then you'll be like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll make some trades. At least I'll, you know, have a free year on this team, et cetera, and see what I can do with it. That's kind of the bonus. So, yeah, maybe I'll take the team over. But we'll see. And we'll keep everybody posted next week on what happens.
Fair enough. I'm not excited about it. But so to do a little recap, jump into the week 7 stuff. We had some guys last week. We told you to pick up. We want to run through those real quick.
Let's do it.
Cool. So let's start with, I guess, the biggest guy on this list. Biggest and most disappointing, Jeff Wilson.
Well, the biggest is Chase Claypool. I mean, let's be real.
I'm saying guys that had production this week.
Yeah, so I mean, Jeff Wilson was very productive, and I saw it happening. I knew he was the back to own this week coming in, just for this week, because, you know, New England is a Swiss cheese defense where you just have to pick a hole to run through. And then McKinnon's kind of their pass catcher. I see McKinnon, I know Jeff Wilson got hurt this week and he's going to go on IR with an ankle injury, but if they're both healthy coming into next week, I would have started Jeff Wilson this week and started McKinnon next week, because McKinnon's going to be, it's going to be a shootout with Seattle rather than them running out the clock against New England.
Yeah, for sure. I saw Hasty. I thought Hasty would kind of be the guy. He looked good last week. I thought they'd give him a little more run, and I think he did okay, but he only did okay because Jeff Wilson had to leave because of injury, which was gross. I don't know if you guys saw that. The ankle was really bad. But yeah, no, he had a really nice game. And, you know, I think somebody to keep an eye out is Tevin Coleman, but we'll monitor for the weeks ahead with his injury.
Yeah. Cause so again, he's coming off injured reserve as well.
Yeah. So the thing for me was that I thought it was odd is that Tim could say that we thought that Wilson was going to be the guy, but we never thought that McKinnon wasn't going to be involved at all. And for them,
I didn't see him having negative 1 yards, but yeah, I knew that Wilson was going to have, you know, I thought he was going to be in that 10 to 12 point range where he goes, you know, for 100 yards, but I didn't expect 3 touchdowns.
No, but it was just an odd thing for them to come out and say that they planned on resting McKinnon this week. That came out today. I don't know. It just seemed weird. Like maybe they're not telling us something that we don't know about McKinnon
with a lot of injury history.
Yeah. I feel like that's like McKinnon's thing, though. Do you remember, like, they were going to cut him before the season started, and then he had to take a weird pay cut? And, like, it's been with McKinnon, it's been, ever since he's joined the 49ers and got hurt, it's been really weird.
Oh, for sure.
And it just seems like it's the next backup not named McKinnon every single time McKinnon has the chance. He's been disappointing. Whenever he's been made to lead back, he's been disappointing, whether it's 10 for 30
he's on the ground.
Yeah, but he's also inefficient when he isn't hurt. I don't know. I could see them moving on after the season is over from McKinnon.
Oh, for sure. I don't see. I mean, he's on. I don't remember what he signed. He definitely re-signed. It was a tiny deal. It wasn't worth much.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's pretty much free at this point. But I mean, he's older too. I think he's 28. So yep. He doesn't have much shelf life left to begin with.
Yeah, I don't see him lasting to 36 like Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore.
There was one cool note there. I think it was during this game, maybe the last game. Maybe it was the Jaguars game even, where the only two teams that were looking at James Robinson actually were the Jaguars and the 49ers. So could you imagine if James Robinson played for the 49ers?
if James Robinson played for the 49ers, he would look exactly the way just Jeff Wilson does to Michael Hasty.
You realize they're down at their, what, fourth, fifth options right now?
Pretty much. It doesn't matter who runs the ball over there. No, they have such a
behind
good,
that line.
They have such a good offensive line and a good – it's not even really their offensive line. It's more just the play structure that they have where they have the ability to get the edge on every single run play, and they get the edge, they get the edge, they get the edge. And then right when you get the edge on them, it's a cutback play. And they put their foot in the ground, and next thing you know, they're 15, 20 yards downfield.
But if Robinson's doing what he's doing, could you imagine him in San Francisco?
Oh, for sure.
But I don't see the volume being there as much. You know, and sure. if James Robinson was in San Francisco, I think we'd have the same discussion about him as we are about Wilson, where, you know, because when Mostert's healthy, he's the lead back there, whether James Robinson's there or not. Tevin Coleman is still going to get plays when he is healthy. McKinnon has showed the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
I think he's just saying that talent level behind that line is really what he's trying to do.
Yeah. Like, we're excited about James Robinson.
Yeah. But
even if you got three quarters of the work behind that line in San Francisco, like, it'd be sweet.
It would be something to talk about. I agree.
Yeah. But as far as we'll stick on running backs, Boston Scott had a 18-point day. He really saved it with that touchdown to what was it, to win the game on Thursday Night Football.
That was a beauty.
It was a nice catch. Outside of that, he was pretty much useless.
He was exactly what we thought he was going to be. 46 yards. You take two catches for probably, I don't know, that last catch was probably 20, 30 yards on its own. So,
so he had two catches, probably 15 yards, and then 46 yards rushing. You're talking about a 10-point day. Yeah.
That's kind of what we've grown to expect out of these backup running backs right now. Like, Madison was terrible, but, you know, like, the ceiling right now is like Gio Bernard had a nice day, but it wasn't like anything special. And then you had Boston Scott, and like, I think all these guys you could have put into the same tier going into week seven. And if you had multiple on your roster, it was kind of pick one and hope for the best.
Yeah. But he was serviceable. Nothing, like Tim said, nothing to be excited about.
I expected him to be involved in the passing game much more than he was.
Five targets, though? How much more do you think he's going to get there?
I mean, I expected him to be around 7-8 targets and, you know, three catches, five targets. I expected more volume there.
I didn't see that because Sanders wasn't even getting that kind of work. So to think that Scott was going to get more passing work, it doesn't seem realistic to me.
I think it's a problem with the scheme in Philadelphia. They don't involve their passing backs enough. I don't know if it's Wentz or the scheme or what it is, but
we've talked about it on the podcast before. It's a tight end heavy offense.
But there's no tight ends.
Right, but
yeah, but there Rogers, is because Rodgers came
still
in
and had 18 points. I mean, they're still targeting the tight end a lot, regardless of who it is.
Yeah,
it's an offense where typically I feel like the running back sticks in to block more than it does receive. You know,
because the line's not great either.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where, you know, I know Boston Scott isn't the hugest running back, but if he's chipping an end or something, he's not getting the target now because the tight end who's kind of, you know, out in the slot a little bit more where Ertz kind of lines up gets more targets.
Yep. That's fair. So that's pretty much it. We got one more guy, McKissick. He was kind of a bust this week. But I think on the flip side of that, we could talk about Gibson.
Who, my guy Gibson. Yeah. Won me a week. Let's go.
Monster week.
Start whoever plays against Dallas.
Yeah, we're pretty much
the
at that
backup running now. Back, the punter, it doesn't matter. They're going to get you fantasy points.
The story starting Gibson at this point anyway was it was like 12, 55, 56. Henderson was in my lineup, and I'm like, you know, if it's not this week for Gibson, when is it going to happen?
Well, you got it this week. Let's hope that it carries over for you. that's all I can say on that one. I'm still not high on Gibson, but he definitely had a good week. Can't deny that. So let's roll with it. So go ahead, Alex. I think the next guy you want to jump into is Claypool.
Yeah, Mapletron. Nothing. Yeah, Mapletron. He's the biggest man on this list, that's for sure, but he did nothing. And that's what you get with rookies, and you get that with every wide receiver, right? Like, when you draft any wide receiver in redraft, you're going to have 2 or 3 weeks where they just don't do anything. Not dropping Claypool in my lineup. Pretty high volume passing offense there for the most part. Going to see his share of the targets. Deontay Johnson's hurt again. It's all good. Keep starting Claypool, even though you're disappointed after last week. He's good to go.
Yeah, this is exactly what I warned everybody about 2-3 weeks ago with Claypool. Is after the 45-point game where he had like 200 yards and 4 touchdowns, there's going to be a week where he puts up a zero. And there's going to be a week where he 15 to 20. And I said I wouldn't be surprised if he has a zero coming up in the next 2-3 weeks. And here it is. It's just.
Joke's on you, my friend. He had negative 0.2 points. He did not have zero. So.
Yeah, but it was exactly what I knew he wasn't going to be that. People picked him up expecting him to be a 15, 20 point a week guy. He very well may manage it, but. There's going to be another week where he has 30 and another week where he has 2 or 0.2.
So the thing I kind of threw out last week is I think that his big weeks were more of a product of Deontay being out and banged up than anything.
But Deontay was hurt again this week.
Yeah, but Deontay played most of the game this week and saw, 14 targets? And then Juju saw another 14. So I think Deontay being there is what will take away from him until they kind of figure out clean rotation between them, because I don't even know what was his snap percentage. Do we know that?
I don't have it up right now.
I would imagine that.
The big thing is they also targeted Ebron 8 times.
Why? Why take away from Claypool? Don't even target Ebron. Have him block and let Claypool go get those targets.
Ebron has shown the ability to be a very productive receiver when you target him. He's a good red zone threat. He can break some runs. He's an above average tight end. I mean, Tyler's had a hard on for him for, 4, 5, 6 years to come to New England. But I mean, they just use Ebron in that bigger wide receiver role this week is really what it came down to.
Yeah. I mean, Ebron's always going to be the guy that attacks the middle of the field, I would think. But Claypool's going to be the burner. Could have just been a scheme fit at that point, too.
Yeah. But, I feel like I had my little victory lap on Claypool this week. The guy I'm going to take put my head down and walk back to the huddle on is going to be Travis Fulgham.
11 targets though, man.
He's going to continue to shut me up. Or is Alshon Jeffrey coming back this week? I know Regan's going to be very bad. DeSean Jackson goes back on injured reserve after 5 snaps. Jesus.
He took a really bad hit. That was terrible.
It wasn't even that. He just got rolled weird. It wasn't even that bad.
It was the second hit
that he got hurt on. It wasn't even the first hit.
He got hit in the head on a punt return, no?
Yeah, but.
Yeah, and then when they rolled him up, they sprained his ankle. I thought he broke his leg.
I thought it was an ACL type deal.
I don't think you're disappointed with Fulgham. 5 for 73. That's perfectly fine for
him. I'm disappointed because I was wrong. I didn't add him. I didn't even put a waiver claim in. I wouldn't even spend $1 fab on him weeks ago. I thought he was just one of these
products like everybody else has been this year.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Tim. I just thought you were a better fantasy manager. I just assumed the best for you.
Yeah. All right. So
he just hangs his head. Yeah, I love it.
Going back to the huddle, like you said.
Yeah.
It is going to be interesting to see how that. I guess the target shift once Jeffrey does eventually come back and
next year.
And I mean, I don't even know if Jeffrey's on the contract next year.
He's not. He's retired. He's done.
He's only 30.
He's retired for me.
Eli Hilton, a dinosaur at 30. But I mean, Rieger's coming back. I see him more as filling that D-Jax role. I don't see him. I don't know. What we've seen of him, he hasn't been anything that crazy yet, but it's still early to say. Fulgham seems like he's here to stay for now.
Yeah, and I'm going to put my head down and walk back to the huddle on him.
You can be in on that one.
Lick my wounds on that one. So let's jump into the guys to add this week. with, we just talked about Rieger. Rieger's going to be an ad. You take a flyer on him if he's available in your league, if you need wide receiver or flex help.
He may not be back this week.
Well, he's a guy where you should add, and this is the time of year where he may fill in a bye week for you in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and right? I believe he was activated off IR today, or planning to be activated off IR today. I forget how they worded it exactly, but he should be off IR this week.
Yeah, for sure. Just something to know. I don't know if the monitor snaps or whatever. I probably wouldn't pick him up and start him this week if I could avoid it, but I'd
definitely absolutely pick him up. Not.
Yeah.
But if you don't grab him now, he's not going to be there next week when he does have the snaps.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, and Tyler's right. He was activated off of injured reserve. And remember, this isn't going to be one of those things where, you know, this is a guy who really relies on his speed and his athleticism. And we're not talking about a really serious injury, even though he was on injured reserve and missed, 6 weeks?
It was a thumb injury.
Yep.
It was a thumb injury.
He had the cast off. He's catching passes.
So, you know, this could be something where he could come off and be really hot down the stretch, because I see Philly being in a lot of games and really throwing and playing from behind. And they're going to win this division with 6 wins.
The crazy part is they really are going to win this division.
With 6 wins. They're not even going to win 7.
Disgusting.
The Miami Dolphins would win that division.
Yeah. Well, the Miami Dolphins may win this division.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold your horses, Tim. Hold your Buffalo Bills over there, because we're coming.
Yeah, I haven't been impressed with the Bills the last 2 weeks, but that's a whole other topic.
I'm impressed with that kicker.
Yeah,
I'm sure you are. 12 times last week, and it was all field goals. But you know that's my point on Rieger is, you know, take your flyer on him now while you still can.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
So flipping from Rieger, I guess we should talk about the old Philly wide receiver, Aguilar. He, big week this week. What, 5 catches on 9 targets for 107 and a touchdown. He's now had 3 weeks double digit fantasy points. But they had the bye. Was it last week or the week before?
It was last week they had the bye. So the thing with
him is, 4 weeks, he's had 3 weeks of at least what? I think it was 13 or 14 points.
Yeah, so he's gone over 14 points in 3 straight weeks. And he's had a touchdown in 3 consecutive weeks that he's played.
Yep.
I mean, there was 1 week, 4 catches, 44 yards and a touchdown. The next week, 2 catches, 67 yards and a touchdown. And then he goes 5 for 107 and a touchdown. There's a lot of volume in that offense because, you know, their defense isn't that great. And I'm not starting Nelson Aguilar and being happy about it.
Yeah, when you type in Nelson Aguilar, the first thing that comes up is people also ask, how many drops did Nelson Aguilar have this season? And that about fits his career at this point.
Oh, without a doubt, he's not a sexy ad.
Yeah, I'm all set on Aguilar. He's getting the volume. He's you know, he had 9 targets this week. That's great. 107 touchdown. But I think Carr got hurt, first of all, at the end of that game. Something to keep an eye on. But I don't know. It's just he's fine, but it's the Jacobs. He's the fourth option. Jacobs, Waller, Ruggs, and then
Renfro.
And then he's kind of tied with Renfro. So he might have his boom or bust games, but not any that I'm buying.
He's really running that stretch of field routes. And just the last couple of weeks, I feel like it's just been open because they've been so worried about the underneath stuff to Waller and Renfro that it just opened up a couple times.
I think he's the odd man out. I think that you're getting the safety cover in Ruggs, you're getting the linebacker double on Waller, so that means he's getting the single coverage. And I think that's why he's excelling right now, because he's got man-on-man, and he's just beating guys.
Yeah, I mean, and Bryan Edwards is – I don't even know.
Still banged up, isn't he?
He's still banged up. Hurt. You know, I know Alex is really high on him coming into the year.
I still think it's his role to eventually lose. I mean, Aguilar will be fine this season, but
no, that's definitely
Bryan Edwards is a project too. He's not. He wasn't going to come in day one and be the alpha. He just can be the alpha once he's developed.
He is expected to be back this week. I wouldn't spend any waiver claims on Nelson Aguilar. Unless you're in a 14-16 team league, I'm not picking up or even picking up, never mind starting Nelson Agholor and being happy about it.
I didn't wake up at any point in 2020 and think I would be talking about Nelson Agholor.
I don't think anybody did, but here we are.
Yeah, if you want to continue that conversation, who expected us to be excited about Randall Cobb?
I mean, you were high on Randall Cobb after what, week one or two it was?
I drafted him and I just wasn't patient enough. He has been average all year long, putting up targets. You know, I picked him at the last pick of a draft in a league where I didn't have any wide receivers. I kind of went unconventional, let's just say. But
that's what we're still calling it, unconventional. Let's just say it. You had a horrible draft. It's okay.
No, so I really don't think you want. I was wondering if he just meant a horrible draft.
No, because I still don't think that a team.
You still don't think what? We're 7 weeks in, you won one game.
I still don't think a team that consists of Patrick Mahomes, George Kittle, Michael Thomas, and James Conner is a bad team. But the
record says otherwise. It's a one-win team as far as we know.
Yeah, well, injuries are injuries. I had to rename that team Hospital Tent for a reason. But let's get back to Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb's actually been really productive. Out of seven weeks, he's had double-digit points in five of them.
Yeah. You know, we went over the last six games, he went 11, 20, 6, 11, 11, and 18. So as far as his stats are there, he's putting up quality wide receiver three numbers as he has throughout his entire career.
So I guess I have a question, and I know the answer, but where do you stack him against Jamison Crowder?
Jamison Crowder is rest of the same. He's the same abilities. He just doesn't have the volume that Randall Cobb has because of his connection with Darnold and that offense. I think
you said that backwards, because Crowder's going to get out target him by a mile.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
because you said that the quality of player. I think that they have the exact same talent level, but Crowder's going to get a lot more volume.
Yeah, I mean, Crowder's been really productive. So I guess if you put Cobb more in the categories of Humphreys or Humphreys for Tyler,
Cole Beasley.
I'm putting Cobb above those guys.
No. Beasley's been super productive. Humphreys had a down week this week, but he's been productive when he's played. I would put him below both of them.
Really? Okay, yeah. Tim, tiebreak us here. Where are you with Cobb and those three?
Are we talking fantasy-wise or talent-wise?
Fantasy.
Fantasy-wise, I'd probably rank them Beasley, Cobb, Humphreys.
So we put them in three different spots. I said one, Tim said two. Tyler said three.
Whoever thought that we would need a tiebreaker with a three-person podcast?
It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's not how I thought that was going to go.
Because, I love when those topics just blow up in your face.
Yeah. All right, moving along.
So let's hop right into this one. Is potentially going down. Rashad Higgins.
Hey. I'm kind of excited about Rashad Higgins, to be honest with you. Obviously, nobody wants to hear about Odell going down. Long-term, it might be the best thing that ever happened to him, because now he's definitely getting the hell out of Cleveland. But as far as
Higgins goes, he doesn't want to leave Cleveland.
He needs to leave Cleveland. We all know he needs to leave Cleveland.
I don't think he cares about his fantasy numbers. He's playing with his best friend. I don't think he cares about winning. He doesn't strike me as a guy who really cares about winning the Super Bowl. I think he likes dancing and having fun with his teammates. And he play high school football with Jarvis Landry?
Did it go all the way back to high school? No, I know they played together.
I know they played at college, but I think it went before that where they were friends.
Oh, that I don't know. I know they definitely played in college. I don't know if they played in high school. But Higgins, to me, I think is going to be just as productive, if not more productive, than Odell has been all year.
I grimace. My face is grimacing.
That's fine.
Went to the same high school. Okay. Isidore Newman High School.
That's cool. That's very cool.
That is pretty cool. That's where. Oh, okay. They both should have came to Miami. That's what really should have happened. It should have been the Fitzpatrick, Odell, and Landry show.
Yeah, but then they would have just benched him for Tua.
Oh, no.
I'm still saying fuck the Dolphins for that one.
That was a dickhead move.
I was really mad at it, too. I was actually with you guys, but not to go too off track here. I think that was their plan from day one, is after the bye, just hand the keys to Tua, regardless of record or anything. But
of course it was, but they made it seem like it was Fitz all the way, and then to pull the plug on the poor guy.
So when he's actually producing and putting you in a position to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Really.
But I don't want to get too sidetracked with him. But Alex, Higgins, do you have anything on Higgins?
I don't know. He doesn't excite me. In a low passing volume offense, Austin Hooper should be back next week. Nick Chubb's coming back.
Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, he's probably more exciting. Not that he'll actually do anything, but if you look at Higgins' player profiler, he ranks like bottom 20th percentile in everything. He's not. He looks more like he has more tight end like workout metrics than he does wide receiver. I don't know.
He's more of a Josh Reynolds to me than anything. So, you know,
like a slower Josh Reynolds.
Exactly. I'm not exactly excited about Rashad Higgins. The volume could be there where you can get 10, 15 points out of him because, you know, Baker's just going to sling it around, but he's in that cluster of talent after Jarvis Landry now.
I'm kind of just hoping this means more good things for Njoku than anybody else, honestly. No. I hope the targets go more to Njoku than they do
to Higgins. Njoku's all done there. Njoku, if he doesn't get traded this week, I'd be surprised. That rookie came on. He looked really well. Hooper comes back after his appendix. Njoku doesn't have a place there at this point.
Yeah, I was surprised with Harrison Bryant.
Yeah, me
too. He looked really good.
He did.
But Higgins has a weird connection with Baker. I think there's potential there.
Did they go to the same high school, or what kind of connection?
I don't know if they've got that kind of connection, but their rookie year, they look good together. Well, Baker's rookie year, obviously not Higgins' rookie year, but they look good together. I think that there's a potential there that they could.
Did they take a nice picture you liked? Or
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
That's why they look good together, because Baker I'm not.
The way that they were posed together kind of just worked. One accent,
they have like
the
a locker room inside of each other.
Yeah. Good?
It was on that boat with Baker and Odell. Yeah, Higgins.
No, was Baker too. Wasn't on that boat. Odell was still with the Giants.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I picture Baker on that boat somewhere.
He would fit right in.
He would.
I'm still trying to figure out where the connection was.
Targets. I'm guessing.
He was targeted 11 times last year.
Not last year. Baker's rookie year.
They were connected 11 times.
He only caught like four of them.
Yeah, Higgins isn't good. I'm not picking him up. I think I'd rather have Aguilar, and that says a lot.
Yeah, and I'm staying away from that altogether.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Hasty a little bit with the 49ers offense because they're going to run the ball no matter who it is. And eventually it's just going to be the Juszczyk show. But 9 rushes, 57 yards, 1 catch, 1 target.
Did you really just say it's going to be the Juszczyk show? That's where we're going?
Took me a second.
They're going to run out of running backs soon.
I hope it is the Juszczyk show soon. That would be phenomenal.
He's the new Mike Allstar.
I'm rooting for it. Oh, no, he's the new... Oh, what's his name from the Browns that was a fullback? Oh, God.
Peyton Hillis,
yeah. He's going to get the running back workload, 1,000 yards, Madden cover.
Oh, Jesus.
No, he's going to be Mike Allstott.
On that note, I'm moving away from that one. Hasty, I'm a little nervous with him. I think it's going to be McKinnon there this week. Week after, who knows? This is going to be one of those guessing game backfields that every week it could be somebody different. Take your pick, hope for the best.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler, don't be so hasty on your decision. Hasty. He's got a good burst score. Like he's talented. He looks really good. It looks like he has good vision. I know he might not get the work, but if he's involved.
So he doesn't need glasses.
Yeah. No, he's 20/20. No, he has good running back vision, which is important for the position.
Oh, ball carrier vision.
Whatever it's called. Yeah, whatever Madden attribute you want to give him, Tim. No, he looked good. And look, if he's going to get 12 to 15 touches because everybody else is hurt, he's a flex. Like if you're in a pinch, like I'm starting him over LaMichael Perine, who I just started. So,
oh no, I completely agree there, but at the same time, he could go and not have a touch at all next week. And it could be completely all McKinnon.
Oh yeah. He could easily be D'Ernest Johnson.
Oh, that makes me sad, but I think you're right.
It's very possible.
He's more likely to be him than he is to be a Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Let's more likely to be
D'Ernest Johnson. Let's remember, Hasty is an undrafted rookie.
That's why you have to temper your expectations with these guys.
Mostert was an undrafted rookie or a sixth round. It was very late. So I think scouts just kind of suck in general. But
I mean, they make plenty of money to do this. I don't know.
But I know I mentioned Chase Edmonds with Kenyon Drake going down. I know he's owned in, what, 63% of leagues you had? 5 rushes, 58 yards, 7 of 7 on targets for 87 yards. He was very productive. I like him. I would be more comfortable starting him this week than I would be starting Drake next week if he was healthy.
Well, here's the problem. He's in a bye week.
Well, yeah, the next week. You don't want to start him this week.
Please start him. Keep that 1-5 rolling.
Now, my question with Edmund. So let's say, because I think Drake's hitting the IR, right? That was the rumor.
Drake's going to IR, it sounds like.
Not confirmed, yeah.
He tore something in his ankle.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. But let's say he's out that 3 weeks, which it sounds like he's going to be out more. But so you only get really 1 or 2 weeks out of Edmund. How much fab are you spending on Chase Edmund?
As much as you possibly can. I would spend, if we had $100 right now, I would spend at least 25.
That's not everything.
Yeah. So
that's nobody
why,
has that.
That's why I had to make sure Tyler explained it, because I knew he didn't mean 100% of your fab. No. So again, if you have $100 budget, I feel comfortable dropping, you know, 25, 30 bucks on him. Because the 30% of your year budget, because again, we were mentioning him last week with Drake healthy as a flex option.
He's going to have season-long value no matter what. And the way that we've seen him playing all year, if he gets an opportunity to get these 20 touches and all this passing work, he very well could run away with his backfield at this point.
I mean, PPR, he's a running back 22.
Right.
Yeah. I think
before getting any touches.
I think I need a button that just screams Alex's drop the bag alert, because whatever you've got left in fab, that's what you need to put on Chase Edmonds, because he needs all your attention. He's the better running back at this point, and I just took an arrow to the knee.
Tell me I'm right.
Not a reference? No reference? That Skyrim reference? An arrow to the knee? Nothing? All right, I'm over.
No, you're on your own on that one.
All right. Tell me I'm right.
No,
tell me I'm just right about Chase Edmonds last week.
Oh, you're right.
We were all in agreement. How are you right?
Nobody argued. We did all kind of down. No, you guys
were saying Drake was so great.
I said that you had to temper your expectations because Drake's still getting a ton of touches. But he was always a flex play.
Just to go back to it, even if Drake comes back, how healthy is he going to be? It's going to be Edmund's role. Drake's on that contract year, I believe. It's the Chase Edmund show. There's no reason for them to go back to Drake if he performs. And I think of all the handcuffs that we've talked about all season long, Madison, Scott, whoever the hell else we've talked about, Chase Edmonds is actually the best and most efficient of them and can take over the backfield. That's situation where he can come and be the one. Madison can't do that. Madison couldn't come in and destroy, I think, Seattle or whoever they played and be the one. It would still be Dalvin Cook's show. Chase Edmonds has a chance to go out and play two games.
The starting job regardless of what happens with Drake.
Exactly. Spend your fab. All of it. If you have $50 left, put it all. Use your $0 on flyers every week if you need to.
Yeah, because again, remember, you don't take this into next year, so unless your league does that. But I mean, with Chase Edmonds, he has rest of season value regardless of what happens with Drake. And I think he's a better running back than Drake. I think he fits that offense better. I like Chase Edmonds, and I would prefer him over Drake, even if he was healthy the rest of the year.
Can't argue it anymore. I'd like to. I would love to argue it, but I can't.
Yeah, at this point, it's getting tough to argue that. But I guess we'll see. One of those tough situations that we just know that no idea how it's going to play out long term. But right now, if you can get Edmonds, you need to. There's no arguing it.
Oh, yeah. And then just to round it out with these waiver wire guys, we got two left. One of them, Carlos Hyde. You should have picked him up if you had Chris Carson, because he was a question mark with health coming into the year. This is the time of year now where if you have a stud run, if you have Zeke, pick up Pollard, sit him on your bench. It doesn't matter. If you have, insert another running back one. If you have Jacobs, pick up Rashard. If you, whoever it is, pick up their backup so that you don't get in the situation where you don't have a running back to start if something happens. I think
you're absolutely right. Handcuffs are going to be beyond valuable, and you don't want to be stuck with the guy that goes down now and not have the number one waiver claim or not have enough fab at this point to go get these guys, because when they go, they go, and then you're screwed.
Yeah, for sure. And Carson's definitely going to miss multiple weeks. A week-to-week injury, spelled out by coach, is definitely at least multiple weeks. So Carlos Hyde, he had 1,000 yards last year. He was good this last game. I don't think his schedule gets any tougher. You can start Hyde with some confidence. I wouldn't want to, but I think you can.
Well, I think the thing we should put out here is now, would you go Edmonds or Hyde? Edmonds. For me, it's Edmonds.
Yeah. Oh, good. We all agree on something. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, Edmonds for me.
Good. I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page for that one.
Just the one thing with Carlos Hyde to me is, Travis Homer is picking up some of the passing down work there.
Homer's picking up also.
So was DJ Dallas. DJ Dallas caught a couple of passes.
The really the big sleeper coming, especially with Hyde getting injured, is Rashad Penny's expected off the pup list soon.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I love Rashad Penny.
Like a small child. Yes! Yeah,
I am. I love Penny. He's the best back on that team.
He is expected probably back around week 9, week 10. So, with he could come in and take 25% of the workload there and really, foil anybody's plans, even with Chris Carson.
I'm hip. I love that. Let's do that. That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm not buying that narrative. We thought that was the whole talk last year, and that never came to fruition, or however you want to say it. And that's Carson's backfield no matter what, when he's healthy.
Yeah, Penny was starting to take it away from Carson, and then he tore his ACL last year.
I don't know. I'd have to look, but I'd be willing to bet that Carson didn't have a game where he had more than 10 touches.
The 2 weeks before he tore his ACL, he had 19 and 27 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what was the touches?
14 rushes, 29 yards and a touchdown. And then the next week, 15 rushes, 74 yards and a touchdown. 4 catches, 33 yards and a touchdown.
And were those weeks that Carson was hurt, or was that?
Now you're asking a lot here, buddy.
What weeks were those? Well,
if you're going to put that out there, you got to give the full story.
I'm pulling it up right now. Why don't you hold your horses? I know we're on a podcast. And nobody wants to.
Carlos Hyde had 4 targets, too.
He play both of the games. I mean, one of them, Carson had 23 rushes, and he was outproduced by Rashad Penny.
That's
it was
right.
Week 12, week 13 last year. And Carson played in both weeks. It was right after their bye week. And then the week where he got hurt, the next week is when Carson had the 27-point week, and then he got hurt the week after.
Of this to say is you can't pick up Penny now because there's too many bye weeks, and you can't strap yourself with an injured player who...
No,
if you have an open IR spot, do it.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you're not worried about your IR spots, I think Penny... Yeah, you know what? That's a great take. Pick up Penny if you have an IR spot. I love that, actually. I wish I could do that, but I used all my IR spots in most of my leagues, so...
I picked Campbell everywhere I could because I figured he could be useful going forward. But now I'm a lot less likely with noodle arm throwing on the ball. But to round out the waiver wire pickups, my favorite ad, my favorite running back in Baltimore, Gus Edwards. I think he is a lot more talented than people give him credit for. He's just, every time he gets the ball, I feel like he does something productive with it.
So strange. I thought you said Gus Edwards and not J.K. Dobbins.
I've been a Gus Edwards fan for a while now.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's more talented, but I'm saying he's my favorite.
Yeah, he's kind of fun to watch because he lets everybody else do the work, and then he comes in late and then just barrels through everybody.
And he's averaging over 5 yards a carry on his career. And we're talking about, you know, over 300 rushes.
That's pretty good. Kind of like, he kind of reminds me of Alfred Morris a little bit, but like better maybe.
Everybody's Alfred Morris.
Yeah. Alex is waiting for that. Every running back that
doesn't have a first round grade on them is Alfred Morris.
Does he not have a single podcast
and analyst?
Does he not have a similar play style? Gus Edwards and Alfred Morris. I feel like they're pretty similar.
He's a lot more of a power back with, he does have some breakaway speed. Again, he's nothing special. He's not Derrick Henry. He's not one of these guys, but he, as a second running back on a, as a third running back on a rush first offense, I like him. And especially if Mark Ingram misses this week, he could get 15, 20 rushes. And would you be surprised if he had 2 touchdowns?
That's the key takeaway, is that Ingram's hurt and he's likely going to miss this game. Coach speak says otherwise. I know coach speak is like, oh, he's going to suit up. I don't believe that one bit. I think they're going to let him rest. He has a high ankle sprain. If Christian McCaffrey and Mike Thomas can't come back from a high ankle sprain soon, Mike Ingram isn't coming back anytime soon.
My thing is that, yeah, Gus Edwards sounds great, and he's this bruiser, or whatever, however you want to put the narrative. But I think that if anybody's going to be productive over there, it's going to be Dobbins. My bet is that they probably have almost even carries rushing-wise, but Dobbins is going to get the passing work. And I think that's what's going to separate him, because Dobbins is just electric with the ball in his hand at this point. He's just constantly breaking big plays.
To play devil's advocate,
would you be surprised if J.K. Dobbins had 10 rushes for 15 yards and Gus Edwards had, you know, 60 yards and 2 touchdowns?
I think you could flip-flop it either way.
So I lean more Tim's side on this. I think Gus is the safer back to start. Because what passing volume are you referring to in Baltimore? There's 180 yards to go around and 40% of the targets to go into Marquise Brown.
And you still have Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I don't love that. If you have, I don't really want the passing down back in Baltimore, because Lamar doesn't throw to the running back.
You say that, but in the last 4 games, Dobbins has had 4 targets, 2 targets, 3 targets, 4 targets.
And that's all of the targets in the backfield.
Yeah, are you happy with that?
If he's going to continue to get that and then add 10 to 15 carries, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if he adds 12 to 15 carries, yeah, that's 20 touches. I don't see J.K. getting 20 touches.
I mean, he got 9 last week. Even if we split Ingram's carries down the middle for another 10, they're both at 13, 14 carries.
It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I think you should pick up both back. But I think if you're going to start one, I'm picking Gus Edwards to start.
But are we also remember what you do with the targets? I mean, yeah, it's great. He had 4 targets last week. He had, what, 1 catch for 1 yard or two? He had 2 receptions for 1 yard. I mean.
And the week before he had 3 receptions for 20. That's a 5-point difference.
Yeah, and 1 carry. So it just goes to show you it's going to be a weird committee. And we talked about this before the season started, where I expected, J.K. Dobbins to be around, 50, 60 carries and Edwards to be around the same way, and then Ingram to be around 100. I didn't expect it really anybody to be out-touching anybody to be a clear-cut back, because they're going to want to keep everybody healthy because they know they're going deep into the playoffs. But, I'm just going to end my take on, I would feel more confident in Gus Edwards' touchdown ability this week than J.K. Dobbins' receiving ability this week, especially against Pittsburgh.
Yep, that's how I see it too. I think you're more likely to get a touchdown out of Edwards than you are to get passing work.
Yeah, 3 catches for 30 yards out of J.K. Dobbins or a 1 yard touchdown out of Gus Edwards.
Yeah, plus whatever else he does.
Of course. But that's the 6 points right there. So, yep.
We just watched Derrick Henry struggle against them, and we think that Gus Edwards is going to make a big difference.
I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry again. I've said this, but
that's my point.
I'm just saying, is he the running back one this week? No. And also, Derrick Henry had what, 15 to 20 fantasy points?
Henry had 70 yards and a touchdown.
That's back-to-back weeks where the Steelers have given up 70 or more yards on the ground. Yeah, it may have come from one or two big plays, but they're giving up those big plays. So I'm going to take it. And I don't want to start a running back against Pittsburgh, but it's not a death sentence. We've had back-to-back productive weeks at a running back.
You're just making Marquise Brown sound better to me, Ty. That's all I'm saying.
I have to start him next week. I'm not excited for that, but I have to do it.
But it's going to be, maybe more Lamar Miller. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I apologize. Maybe more Lamar. Maybe we'll see him go for 100 yards rushing again. Who knows? Because, they did lose Devin Bush, their speedy linebacker, in the middle. So they did lose a lot of speed in the middle, somebody who could help contain Lamar.
That, to me, seems like the better take out of either one of these.
I think Lamar.
They're going to want to break down that defense. They're going to want to get everybody tired so that you don't want Lamar getting 20 designed rushes. They'd much rather get those 2-3-4 yard gains with Gus Edwards just breaking down the defense. But we'll see. We could be wasting our time, and Mark Ingram could play, and it could just be a complete clusterfuck of 33% of the snaps for all three of them again.
It's going to be a clusterfuck no matter what. I think that's a fair place to stay.
Well, you starting, just to kind of circle back, I mean, would you rather start, who's a running back that we've kind of talked about that's not on bye?
Carlos Hyde?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde or Gus Edwards?
Hyde all day.
Yeah, I'm starting Hyde there too.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of one of those, it's a flex play, especially against Pittsburgh. Yep. It just sucks that it's against Pittsburgh, because if this was, just any other week for them, if they were playing Cleveland, if they were playing Cincinnati, I'm starting Gus Edwards and feeling pretty happy as my running back too.
Yeah, I agree with that. It does suck that it comes against Pittsburgh.
But I think that's all we have for the waiver wire pickups this week.
That's it.
So I do want to take one on the chin really quickly, because while we're at recording the episode, I think Josh Reynolds has like 100 yards and a touchdown already, and it's feels the second like quarter. But
it does feel like that.
Yeah, but
as he catches another one.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's incredible. It's incredible. Like, you say something and the reverse happens every time, and it's not just you. Like, it's everybody.
I don't care if you listen to us because you want to do the opposite, or you listen to us because you want to do what we say. Just listen. All right. That's all that matters. If you want to listen, if I say start Gus Edwards and you're going to start J.K. Dobbins because I said Edwards, go ahead. Just tune in next week.
So I think the good point here we should throw in too is we're horrible at this. Can we get you guys to go out, give us a like, give us a review, give us some input, tell us what you guys think, so we can know, because we're always trying to make podcasts better for you guys. And it's tough to know what to do if we are not telling us. So yeah. iTunes, like, subscribe, comments, anything you want. It's all helpful.
Smash that subscribe button, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Smash it.
Well, all right, that's guys. All I got for this one.
All right. We'll have another episode coming out this week. I know we promised it for, 3 weeks now, but we will guaranteed have another one coming out this week.
It's like that little loading bar. It's like we're at 66%. We're just going to keep saying it until we get to 100%.
One day, if we say it enough, it'll be true.
It's going to be this week.
Yes, it is. It's going to be this week.
All right. Well, then let's get to it, boys. All right, guys. Thanks.
See you.